Welcome to the Product Podcast by Product School. Here's a preview of today's talk.
There's a lot with product management. You're going to be working with a lot of different groups. For example, as a product manager, you're going to be working with product design. That could include designers, it can include UX, it can include research. I've had roles where I've had those types of resources, and I've had roles where there was no budget for it, and product, kind of, you just kind of learn it. You make your own wireframes, you make assumptions on what the user experience should be, and then you work with engineering. And engineering orgs can consist of multiple layers. So you can have front-end engineers, you can have back-end engineers. You can also have QA and user acceptance teams. You don't always get that. I think I've had one role where I've had an user acceptance team where we've QA'd it. Most of the role of a PM is to QA your product because you have to sign off on it. In addition to working with the tech org, you're also going to be working with sales, you're going to be working with marketing, you're going to be working product marketing, and you should be getting in front of customers as well.
In this podcast, we teach our listeners valuable lessons about product management and transform them into thinking like a product manager. We teach product management, coding, data analytics, and blockchain in 14 campuses worldwide, including San Francisco, New York, and Seattle. You can find more information at productschool.com. Join our Slack community of 25,000 professionals to network and stay tuned for our upcoming events.
Okay, so intro to product management. So there's a few things to consider. When I was kind of thinking through my career and what lessons kind of, I think, helped me along the most, I kind of narrowed it down to four things. The first one is you really want to understand why you want to get into product management. For me, it was the thrill of moving to New York, working for the Travel Channel, and helping them build mobile from the ground up. They didn't really have any mobile products, and I was coming in as an SMS expert. That was kind of my angle into product management. And from there, I learned how to build mobile websites. I learned how to build mobile apps. Travel Channel got acquired by Scripps Networks, and I got moved onto Food Network and HGTV. I'm like, this is awesome. This is brands I can totally relate to. I'm building a product where I'm the end user, which is very rare, and I'm building it when technology is launching new gadgets. I mean, the iPad had come out. We were in mid-development of the recipe app for Food Network, so that kind of shifted things a little bit. Really kind of understanding what it means to be a product manager and kind of put yourself in those shoes. So I think it's great that you guys are here kind of trying to understand more about it. A lot of it is through networking. A lot of it is through meeting other product managers, talking to them about their experience. There is a lot of material that you can read on product management. I think that's going to give you a good understanding of it. But to really kind of grasp it, it's really talking to product managers and going and getting internships, taking jobs that you may not have a product management role, but you'll be able to influence the product in some way. There's a lot with product management. You're going to be working with a lot of different groups. For example, as a product manager, you're going to be working with product design. That could include designers, it can include UX, it can include research. I've had roles where I've had those types of resources, and I've had roles where there was no budget for it, and product, kind of, you just kind of learn it. You make your own wireframes, you make assumptions on what the user experience should be, and then you work with engineering. And engineering orgs can consist of multiple layers. So you can have front-end engineers, you can have back-end engineers. You can also have QA and user acceptance teams. You don't always get that. I think I've had one role where I've had an user acceptance team where we've QA'd it. Most of the role of a PM is to QA your product because you have to sign off on it. In addition to working with the tech org, you're also going to be working with sales, you're going to be working with marketing, you're going to be working product marketing, and you should be getting in front of customers as well. If you like to interact with people, product management is awesome because you're constantly meeting so many different customers and you're meeting different people throughout your org and you're just constantly interacting. You're learning so many different tasks, such as, you know, multitasking and then communication, because you have to tailor your comm. So if you're talking about a product feature, you're going to have a conversation with engineering that's going to look very different than a conversation you're going to have with a customer or a conversation that you're going to have with sales, right? With engineering, you're going to get in the nitty-gritty. You're going to talk technical details. With a customer, you're not going to really do a lot of talking. You should be doing more listening because you want to understand why they use your product, what their needs are, what is the product not meeting from them. And then when you're talking with sales, right, they have a different goal sometimes. They're maybe revenue focused. So for them, you really want to help them align the product solution with their customers' needs. So it's really going to be tailored differently. And that's one of the things you're going to learn a lot with product management. Truly kind of understanding it and trying it out, you're not going to know it until you try it, I guess. And taking that risk is always worth it. Any questions? Yeah.
What would you say is the first thing that is the difference between a project manager and a product manager?
Oh, good question. So in my role, I'd say about half my roles, I've actually had dedicated project managers or program managers. And then in some of my roles, I have been the project and program manager. And it's not a fine line, I will say that, because as a product manager, you are creating your roadmap. You're working to make sure your teams are on track. Project managers have similar goals. In most cases, project managers are aligning resources across multiple projects and making sure that everything is coming together. Project managers are not going to really get into that nitty-gritty of requirements. They're probably not going to work really closely with engineering, depending on how the org is set up. With product management, you're going to be able to gather requirements, talk to customers, build out that vision of your product, have that roadmap, and really own it. One thing, though, that is, I think, can be misleading with product management is the phrase is mini CEO, which I don't like because it's not the case at all. You don't have a lot of, depending on the company, you're not necessarily going to have a pulse on like the financials of the company. You're not going to have the ability to make those kind of decisions. Some of my roles have been a lot of responsibility where you don't necessarily have the authority that you need. And you have to navigate those waters. Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. No, zero. So I have a marketing degree and I studied entrepreneurship in college. I understand technical language. I do not know how to code. I don't know SQL, which I know I should. I just haven't been interested in learning it. Not much, but I have learned like how to understand APIs. So like I have gotten into those details because in my last role I was managing the social APIs. So I was understanding that. I do understand high level code, but I would not say I know how to code at all by any means. Over time you kind of learn the technical jargon and you can kind of make an assessment for if an engineer is giving you the right estimate or not. Like, is it really going to take 2 weeks to change the button? Maybe, maybe not, depending on how old the code is, what lies behind it, if there's tech debt. But over time, you're going to be able to know when you're doing estimations with engineers, if it's aligned with the reality of it. The other piece of it is that that's kind of the role of engineering as well. So I do think it's great if you are a product manager and you're coming from a technical background. I do think you have an advantage there because especially if you're coming from an engineering position, you know how engineers work, right? So you know what it's like to be an engineer. You know what they're kind of looking for. I heavily rely on engineers when we're doing like discovery because I'm going to come at it from a functional requirement standpoint saying like the customer is looking to achieve this goal or I have this hypothesis that if we change the landing page of the website, we're going to convert X number of users. And the engineer is thinking about it from like a technical standpoint, right? Like, all right, so those are on two different backends, or this isn't possible. I've had a lot of great conversations with engineers where they can steer the project in a different direction, but it's in a different direction that's better for the long-term outcome. So you work really closely with them. But for me personally, I'd say I'm light to medium on technical.
But I think it's the focus is really different. My, our product is a B2B product.
Okay.
Much different from like the C2C product, the model.
Yeah, I mean, I still think you have the core roles and responsibilities should be the same. Maybe the feature or product that you're working on is different. Yeah, so my last at Percolate, they were B2B. And it was, we were still able to get in front of customers because it was the customers who were using the software. And for me in particular, I was focused on social. And in April, when Facebook, maybe March, April, that Cambridge Analytica stuff came out, all the API changes came out too, and that was all on me. So then I had to realize, like, okay, what impacted our product? And then I needed to communicate that to our customers. And doing that through, like, email, I had webinars, and it was just really just kind of very simple, like, this was the change that was made. This is what's no longer in our product. So you should be able to get in front of customers even in a B2B setting, especially if it's something that they're paying for. But even regardless, you should be able to get in front of customers in B2B settings. Yeah, cool. All right. So now that you figured out, okay, I think I know what product management is. I'm really interested in it. I want to dive into it. I got to figure out my plan for this. You kind of want to envision where you want to be. So if you know you want to get into a product management role for a digital media company, you want to take steps to get you there. You may not be able to get in the door in a product management role, but you know you want to work for this digital publisher and they have an opening in customer support or account management, or they have an opening in product marketing, something that where you're going to be able to touch the product. Knowing like your long-term goal is product management, you want to be able to understand like the stepping stones in order to do that. I do that today. Like when I made the decision to go into freelancing, I did not quit my job overnight. I took a couple of months to identify what it was I wanted to do. Is there a market for product managers in the freelancing world? Am I valuable? Can I market myself, right? I can market products, but can I market myself? What's my skill set? When I'm getting hired for a company, they're hiring me to do product management. I have products. It's a full-time job. When you're freelancing, you have to sell, sell, sell. And it's not always this clean-cut project. I also wanted to look at, like, what are really the trade-offs with freelancing versus having a full-time job? And, you know, over the course of, like, I think 3 or 4 months, I was starting to realize, like, okay, there is a market for this. I do have a worth. I have this value in the market that the market's telling me. And I'm going to take a risk and, you know, bet on myself. And that's what I did. And I've been freelancing for about 3 months now. And I've learned a lot from it. I'm doing product management. I'm working for a company where I am a product manager a couple days a week. And you're still applying the same skills. But you have to create that path in order to do that. And I've learned so much about it that I don't think I would have known prior to going into it. So things I would necessarily... not necessarily change, but maybe things I would look for in my next, you know, when I'm getting my next client, something like that. So kind of picturing where you want to be and figuring out what steps you need to get there. And I think it's great that you guys are attending this tonight because you're able to hear at least my story, but talk to other product managers as well. A lot of it is internal transfers. Like one of my coworkers at Percolate, she was in marketing and then she moved over as an associate PM and then as a PM. We had another PM who was in customer support who then moved over into product. So you may not be able to get that product management job right out of the gates, but understanding like, okay, what the path is to get there will be really helpful. Yep.
How do you navigate that kind of conversation, or like, how would you recommend that? I think it's difficult to talk to like your direct manager, like, hey, I think don't want to be in your department. Like,
yeah.
So
if you have great relationship with product managers within the company, talk to them as friends, colleagues. I know I have gone out with a couple, like just grabbed coffee with other employees within the company who are interested in moving into product management and wanted to understand like what my job was. What is the org like? You know, you want to, the other thing you want to find out is like, what is the management style? What's that leadership style? Are they going to help you get to that next level? Are they going to teach you how to be a PM? Or are they going to expect you to kind of just figure it out on your own? It's probably going to be a little bit of both, but you definitely want to find someone who's going to mentor you and coach you along the way. I think just having like kind of off the cuff conversations. So I know some companies, if you want to do like internal transfer, you have to talk to your manager first. But most, I mean, I want to believe that most managers are going to be supportive of this. And if it's like a better fit for you and it's something that you're passionate about and it's going to grow your career and you're also going to be with the company, like they're going to retain you. I want to believe that they would be really supportive of it. But I know it can always be a little difficult. The other thing is just talking to other product managers and getting a sense for how product orgs differ. Because there are some product orgs that don't necessarily have product design as part of it. Product design is completely separate. And that creates some barriers when you're creating a product and a vision and you're not including product and UX and design in it. So you really kind of want to get a feel for the different layouts of the teams. Some are very like matrix where you're siloed, where you're not talking to any other PM. You're not exchanging notes. You're not exchanging best practices. It's kind of like the wild, wild west. Everyone has their own style for sprints. Everyone has their own dev team. And then there's other product orgs that it's very collaborative. Like you may have one focus, but you're working with the rest of your team to identify problems. And that's honestly, that's how I like to work. I know at Percolate, that was one thing that we were working towards was we had a team that worked on specific apps features. And when we would have our meetings, we'd come to the table with questions about us, our, you know, our product or our area. And it'd be collaborative, like a conversation. Because I don't like working alone. I like working with other people. And as much as like you work with engineering and sales and product design, like you kind of have to work with other product managers too to figure out like, all right, I'm stuck on this or I don't know how to get around this. Because a lot of it is you are kind of, you're selling, right? Because you are the champion for your product and you have goals and you want to make sure your goals are going to align with the rest of the business. So everyone can work together on that. It's tricky. Yeah.
How much does a product manager's
No, so like when I joined Percolate, I was working as a PM focused on social media where I didn't have domain knowledge. I had some experience with it. When I built apps, I would include like the features in the app. But I wasn't like a subject matter expert in it, but I knew the fundamentals of product management. So I knew the product management lifecycle of, you know, going through ideation to development all the way to QA and release. And if you have that, I think that goes a long way. I think also being a subject matter expert in something, if you're trying to get into product management, just looking back for me, that's what helped me. I learned product management, but I knew mobile so well that I kind of faked the product management piece until I was able to get it right. Yeah, I mean, it varies on how the orgs are. Cool, any other questions? So this one is, this one's important to me because there are so many skills when you think about product management, right? There's strategic skills where you're going to need to think about resources, you're going to think customer needs, you're going to need to think about prioritization. How do I prioritize these two features that are coming at me? How do I get through or navigate when I don't have a clear strategy from the exec team or I don't have that North Star or KPIs to work towards? I've definitely been in companies where we don't have a strategy or the strategy changes, it pivots. We don't have that North Star and you kind of have to create it yourself. I look at it as like there's the hard skills and the soft skills. So there's the skills where you're going to be learning strategy, prioritization, road mapping, wireframing, looking at data. That's all stuff I think you can learn through classes. You can learn through books. You can learn through articles. But I think it's the soft skills, like having that humility, that empathy, and respect for others. That's something that you really learn throughout the job. For me, I really value empathy and humility for project management skills. The reason being is you're working with others, and especially engineering. Engineering doesn't report to you, but yet your roadmap depends on them. So you want to get their buy-in and their support. And you really kind of work collaboratively with them. And there are times when you may make a mistake. I have definitely made my fair share of mistakes. And it's not about the fact that you made a mistake. It's how you own it and how you recover from it that matters. There are definitely times when at Percolate, I can remember Twitter made this announcement with changes to their API where they were not going to be allowing duplicate messages for basically spam purposes. And I caught it the day before the change was happening. And the penalty was you can get shut off. I'm like, all right, this is not good. I cannot have Twitter shut Percolate down. And it was literally like call engineering to the table and say, like, guys, it got missed. I don't know how. I missed it. I'm owning it. Like, this is what we need to do to kind of get it. And it was like all hands on deck. Versus like, you want to take responsibility, right? You don't want to point fingers. And you definitely don't want to call out anyone else if they've made a mistake. Empathy is you really want to put yourselves in your customer's shoes. So when, Facebook made all those API changes in April, all of a sudden customers were without certain features. They could no longer tag a page in a post. They want to do a post about another one of their brands. And they can't do it. They have to go native. But the whole point of using the tool was to make it more efficient and create a post in social through the Percolate tool. And kind of empathizing with them, understanding what they're going through and the change that it's now going to impact their workflow, even though you have no control over it. Facebook did this, no warning whatsoever. But you have to pick up the pieces because ultimately it's your responsibility because you brought this product to your customer. And really kind of putting yourself in their shoes and understanding how it is great. That's why those are the kind of skills I really value. A lot of it is building relationships that you're going to have, not even just with other product managers or with engineering. It's going to be with other people within the company. Because if they have a customer who has all these product needs, you want sales to be able to come to you to tell you that. So you want to have that open door. And in most of my roles, we've had a process where we would get feedback. But then you just have this long backlog on this like spreadsheet that, eventually you get through and you take a look at. But it's the stuff that's like really important. And it's kind of like, sometimes you have these quick wins that you can get out the door. Like it may not be the best feature, but you might be able to sneak it into a release. And it's going to make that account manager really happy because she's now going to be able to go back to that or he's going to be able to go back to that customer and make their day. Because that was a feature that they have been wanting for like the longest time. And kind of playing your cards right, essentially. It's a balancing act because you're going to have like all these priorities coming at you and you need to be able to prioritize, but you also need to think about what your end goal is. Cool. Any questions? All right. So the last one is... the art of saying no. So have you guys heard like product managers say no a lot? We do. And it's not easy, even like the amount of times I've said no, it's not easy. there's been times when I've had to turn off a product or a feature and I have to tell the customer that, and they may have just signed up for this product because of that specific feature. And it's just like, I understand this is like kind of is what it is. And you kind of walk them through that and give them alternatives. The reason why we say no a lot is because what I feel is requests could come to us. that haven't been vetted or that aren't solving the real problem. They're solving symptoms of the problem. So this is where, like, product management, you kind of get into this, like, detective work where you got to figure out, like, wait, what is the customer really trying to solve for? What is their need? And is this a roadblock for them? And you may find, like, it's something completely different and they didn't even realize it. And that's where you want to go back and ask questions and kind of really get to the root of it, because a lot of what I've seen is could be symptoms that's just being covered up because they're just frustrated. And sometimes the users of your product aren't tech savvy. They don't understand product management. They don't understand product development. They don't necessarily understand the technology that they're using, right? And it's something as simple as just kind of like understanding their needs. This is kind of going back like to empathy and being able to relate to them has been really helpful. Whenever you have to say no, you don't just say no. You have to back it up with something, right? So you want to first not have that knee-jerk reaction, be like, no, we can't do that. Are you kidding me? You want to say, like, okay, let me look into this, or let me think about this. Let me see where this would go in the roadmap, and look into it. See where it will go in the roadmap, and then go back to whoever was asking for it and provide some details. Like, we can't necessarily do it right now, but we'll be able to get to it later. Or there's something else that we're getting that may suffice for now. You never want to just say no without providing another solution to it. That's the other thing, is that you want to steer them in a different direction, or you want to at least give them something to hold on to, because that's also going to build trust. One of the things with product management is trust. Are they going to get the requirements right? Are they going to get this out on time? Did they give me a roadmap that's accurate? Can I tell my customers that they're going to get this feature and it's going to be delivered? You're constantly building up your relationships and trust throughout the company. And a lot of that starts in the very beginning with getting the requirements and the estimation down and building out that roadmap. And you put your buffer in, but over time, you're going to build up this trust and relationship. So they're going to know that, like, all right, that PM just gave me a date. I know this is going to be accurate. So I have, like, high degree of confidence. I'm going to be able to go back to my customer and say, and if it does, and if you miss it, it's okay, because there's a valid reason and you've explained it to me because you provided that explanation. And that's kind of where it goes back to the humility of, like, you're not always going to hit your target. I've definitely launched products that are late. I'm in the middle of, like, launching a beta program that's like 2 weeks, got 2 weeks delayed, and they just got their second ad unit today of like 8. So it's just kind of there's almost so much you can work with. And I think the more open and honest you are with it, I think the further it's going to go, because it's going to build the trust. Any questions? Okay. So I particularly like this because I can relate to this. So as a product manager, management is doing things right. Leadership is doing the right thing. You want to be a product leader, not a product manager. So this is kind of where it goes back to, you may need to say no. So there's a path in which you can be just following the process. You're doing it right. You're following the process. You got it out on time. It launched to customers. But it wasn't necessarily the right thing to do. And you kind of get a sense for that. You may not in the beginning, but over time you're going to get a sense for it. You're going to know, like, is this a feature that's actually going to move the needle? Or is this one of those things that's more fluff, where it's just like, oh, we just need to do this. Let's get this out the door. But it's not really what you should be doing. And I think I've had both in my career. I think I started off more as like a product leader because I was handling mobile technology, which no one else had. And I was building up mobile programs that didn't exist. And I was really just kind of like going for it. And at that time, I was doing the right thing. And I've definitely had roles where it's like, there's a process you have to follow, and the direction's coming down as to what you need to do. And you just do it, because that's your job. That's why you're getting paid. And being able to distinguish between the two, I think, is really important in your career, because you really want to get recognized as that leader. Even if your organization's small, your organization can be flat, but you want to be that go-to person that when they think of a product person, they're going to you because you're going to be able to lead them.
Thanks for listening to the Product Podcast. If you liked this episode, don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes. If you want to know more about our courses and next courts, visit productschool.com. Stay tuned for the next episode to learn more about the secrets in product management.